Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
As he sips his morning refreshment, we say good morning to Dean Richards.
That's Gatorade.
Well, morning beverage, hydration, huh? Morning hydration, morning beverage.
Well, I'm not sure I can do a full show today. We have almost a full show today.
Almost a full show.
We're on all the way
minus till 15 minutes.
12:45. How many weeks now have we only done, I've only done 2-hour shows. You guys continue to work like horses, but.
Yeah, this is, I believe, this is week 14 in the NFL, so 13 straight weeks.
Yeah.
At least, well, there were a couple Thursday nights, one Thursday night game, one Monday night game.
Yeah, I'm exhausted already.
I don't blame you.
I don't know how you do it, Andy. Andy is here with us early in the morning, and then with his two new friends.
I think it's fear that motivates me at that time.
It's all adrenaline.
Yes.
When Hamp and OB hit it.
Especially after last week.
Packer week. Didn't go very well.
Started off pretty good.
Yeah, should have ended the game at halftime.
The game, yeah.
I wish we had a camera on Hamp and OB when things go bad.
Yeah.
Just to see what that looks like.
It's, by this time, it kind of looks normal because I think they kind of expect it at this point.
That something bad's going to happen?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's entertaining, I'll tell you that.
Yep.
You going to make it in there?
I don't know. I don't know. Honestly, I've been stressing out. It's like a full 4 hours. Well, it's 3 hours and 45 minutes, which, you know, is nothing. We did that, you know,
we've done it for years.
4-hour shows, 6-hour shows.
Yeah.
I remember once I filled in for Steve and Johnny overnight years ago. 6-hour show by myself. Ooh. And virtually no commercials.
And no phone calls.
And very few phone
calls. No one wanted to call.
None that I wanted to take.
Not at that time.
I don't even remember what I talked about. I'm sure. Thank goodness we don't keep very good records here.
I can hear this about 4:15. This is Dean Richards.
You know, like I was saying a couple of hours ago.
And I was, nice to have you with us this morning. Yeah.
Does everything sound a little tinny?
Yes. Yeah, we have a very weird feedback going on in there.
Hello. Check. Hello. Check. What's turned on? Something's turned on. Something's turned off. It appears as though everything's fine, but it sounds weird to me.
Do you have the graphic equalizer set properly studio? Because apparently this is a very high frequency range feedback, somewhere around 12 kilohertz. No. 12 to 15 kilohertz.
Well, as long as it's 12 to 15, then I think I can continue to do the full show.
I'm not talking about age. I'm talking about the frequency response here.
What? What?
Huh?
I'm going to need as many distractions as possible. So,
okay.
This could be.
Ready, everyone.
I appreciate that you're listening now, but. if you really want some quality entertainment, I would tune in around 11:30, because I'm predicting the whole thing is going to go off the rails right around then. It's going to be some historic broadcasting coming up. I start off the show today with the great song Kumbaya in honor of the great Floyd Brown, Shawnee, who you reported on in the newscast, who passed away this past Friday. Longtime WGN TV and radio announcer, newscaster, talk show host. Talk about a jack of many trades. Floyd was a fixture here on WGN for 28 years, 54 years in the business, but 28 of those here on WGN. He joined WGN in 1971, stayed here until his retirement in 1999, and I was very fortunate to have worked pretty closely with Floyd when I first started here. Kind of showed me the ropes, showed me where the men's room was. You know, all the important things.
And what a gentleman to work with.
Completely.
Andy and I were talking about that earlier this morning, about what just a total gentleman he was. Yep. It was a pleasure to be associated and to work with him.
Yeah. Always dressed to the nines.
Yes. Yes. Sharp.
Yeah. Not slobs like us.
Nope. Right. He could be working the overnight show, and there was a suit and tie.
Suit and
there.
Tie. Yeah. All the time. But he did, on television, he did sports. He did a booth announcing. When I started at WGN is when he was transitioning to radio only. So I took over the announcing duties, you know, and now doing the commercials. That's when I did the Victory Auto Records commercial 32 years ago. The announcer before me was Floyd Brown. And I don't know how long his version was on, but mine has been on since 1991. So he transitioned to radio, and that was about the same time that I was coming over to radio, and he and I did commercials. We worked on a lot of things together, and he just could not have been a nicer guy, and supportive of, you know, the young bucks who are coming up and helping others. He was just a wonderful man. But his radio show, Shawnee, that jazz show that he did on Sunday night,
mm-hmm.
was one of the coolest things ever.
Mm-hmm.
He played all the – he had a vast knowledge of jazz, played all the great songs. He had guests on his show. He did an investment segment on his show, I remember, every week as well. And he ended every show with a recording of Kumbaya. That was his kind of his
sign off
yeah. song.
Yeah.
So we're very sad to report on his passing. He was 92 years old. He just turned 92 recently. He is survived by his wife of 67 years. Mm-hmm. His lovely and very charming wife, Betty. Two children. I talked with his son, Keith, for at length yesterday, and we reminisce, but he had a son and daughter, and our condolences to them. There have been no arrangements announced yet. He had only just passed away on Friday, so as soon as they let us know about arrangements, we'll let everybody know. But he tells me that they are going to be public. So for those who remember Floyd Brown and would like to pay respects, there will be an opportunity to do that.
It was good to see him at one of the WGN Walk of Fame inductions.
Well, he was inducted in 2016.
Yeah, I had a wonderful conversation with his daughter there.
Yeah. 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 That was the same year that I got inducted into that class also. And that was the last time I saw him.
He had recently
suffered a stroke. He was the comeback kid. He had had quadruple bypass surgery years ago, decades ago, and had battled cancer and had battled a stroke, and came back every single time. As his son told me yesterday, he said, "Dad always said, Browns never give up."
So he kept on fighting. Yeah.
And I will always have very fond memories of him. He's just, as you say, class personified. He was involved in so many charitable organizations out in the Fox Valley area. He lived in Elgin the whole time that he lived here. He's, you know, very, very renowned in that area in particular. I'll have nothing but good memories about Floyd Brown forever. Good guy.
When you met him for the very first time, I remember seeing him for the first time. It was like you had known him for years. You know, he was that friendly
very
and that welcoming. Approachable.
Yeah. Very welcoming. We should try to raise our standards a little bit.
Yes, we should.
I feel like I should try to lead that example.
After all, the show is your name's
got
on
my
the show.
Name on the show.
Yes.
Yeah. Would you mind holding the show so I can go home and get a suit on? I've got a nice...
Andy and I could do the show.
We got a nice velour top on right now, but it's not Floyd Brown quality, I'll tell you that much.
Well, Andy and I can we can take care of this. You can go home, put on your suit, and come back and do the show.
Can you imagine doing
for radio?
Can you imagine doing a whole show with a suit and tie?
I had to in my first job.
4 hours sitting there with a tie on.
We were required to wear ties to work my first job.
Yeah.
Had to.
I had a job like that once. The boss used to say, if you dress sharp, you'll think sharp.
Uh-huh.
And I said, how long did you work there?
He said, you also worked at that station, my friend. I got news for you.
That one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Super CFL.
Ah, yes.
And so I, you know, being the smart aleck that I sometimes can be.
No.
I retorted to him, so does that also mean that if I am dressed uncomfortably, I'll sound uncomfortable?
It's good.
And they just kind of
did not appreciate my humor.
No, I don't think they would.
Most people do not appreciate my humor. Most people don't understand me. So I think we're just going to stay sloppy.
All right.
You know, one of the best things we ever did is when they took the web camera out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Used to be that you could tune in.
Oh, yes. You could watch everything that went on.
Into the web.
When you went on the website.
Us. Right. You could watch us, which meant we had to be fairly presentable when we did our shows.
Mm-hmm.
But the worst was, like, during the commercials. That's when things really fall off the
right.
Yeah. The wheels.
People want to watch you eat.
Any type of gesture that was...
Isn't that when you saw me goofing around with the kids in the window?
Yes.
I shouldn't put it that way. That doesn't sound right.
When
we were over at Tribune Tower, as I affectionately love to call that old dump where we used to work, we were right on the street. We had the studio on the street in the window. And when kids would come by, I would make funny faces at them. I would make them laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Kids understand, Uncle D.
You were making me laugh. I had to do a newscast in 1 minute, and I look at you, and you've got Magilla Gorilla written all over your face there.
I'm goofing around with the kids. The kids love their Uncle Dean. But on all these closed-circuit cameras on the web, everything, people are like, what is wrong with you? It's a question I've been asking for many a decade.
I've been asking for 41-plus years now.
Many a decade I've been asking that question. So, well, anyway, let's. You have a lovely far-flung forecast, I'm guessing.
And a very appropriate one.
Oh, good.
Yes.
We love things that are appropriate. That is what we will get to right after this. WGN. The far-flung forecast, our weekly compendium of interesting facts and figures, this week presented to us by Dave Kumbaya Schwann.
Well, thank you very much, Uncle Dean. Good morning, everyone. And since we are in the season to be jolly, get out your compasses and protractors, and we are headed way north and way west to North Pole, Alaska. North Pole, Alaska, near far from Fairbanks, actually, with a population of 2,243.
That's where Santa lives.
You're very close, actually. The city actually is about 1,700 miles south of the actual geographic North Pole.
Yeah. Santa can see Russia from his backyard.
He can see Russia from the backyard there, yes. And 125 miles south of the Arctic Circle. So it is indeed definitely an Arctic environment. And as you might guess, they get thousands and thousands of letters to Santa Claus at this time of year. Yeah,
just for me.
Just for you?
Just from me.
Oh, just from you. Okay. Yeah. All right. They get, and there are streets named Santa Claus Lane, Snowman Lane, Kris Kringle Drive.
Yep.
And as we said, 2,000 people live there and are proud to call North Pole, Alaska home, but you might not want to be there if you don't like cold weather because it is now 11 below in North Pole, Alaska this morning.
Mm.
So happy holidays and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, take that, you elves. Get back to work, you elves.
We will have another seasonal far-flung forecast for you next week at this same bat time.
9:37 is the time. It's Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. COVID cases going up, flu cases going up. A triple-demic starting to form. We'll find out what all that means from Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. Kevin, good morning to you. Nice to have you with us. Before we get into all of that, I just wanted to touch base on a story that happened this week, the death of a prominent actress, Kirstie Alley. Died 71 years old of colon cancer. How prevalent still is colon cancer? Still one of our leading forms of death?
Well, it's not a leading form of death. It's very high as far as the number of cases that we're seeing. But fortunately, cases that are caught early can be treated. But we are still seeing deaths, and we're starting to see deaths actually in younger people. Now, Kirstie was 71 years old, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
But we did have other actors who died younger. Everybody knows Eddie Olchek. He didn't die, but he was diagnosed at the age of 49 with colon cancer. So really starting to see the impact of our diet and what we're doing with our diet here, and to a point where we've moved screening back from 50 down to 40, 45 in many people.
Yeah, and it's as simple as that, isn't it, of just going to get a colonoscopy. People cringe when they hear that word. I've never found it to be, you know, a horrible experience. It's something that's over in a minute, and you know, seemingly in a minute, because you get kind of hazed out while you're doing it. The preparation is a little time consuming, but I've never found it to be a big deal. I don't know why people do.
Yeah, I don't either, Dean. Like you said, the prep is a little bit, okay, it's a day of inconvenience possibly, but the procedure itself, we give almost everybody gets a medication called Versed, and you forget it. You don't even remember it. You say, gosh, I remember being in this room, and I remember being in the post-op area, but nobody remembers the procedure itself.
Yeah, I've had it done several times, and when I've woken up, I've said, have we even started yet? It's like, oh, you're done. We have you halfway out the door.
Yeah. So people do have to understand that the importance of it, though, is so high, because if we find colon cancer early enough, we can often treat that while we're doing the colonoscopy. The polyp can be removed, and the cancer is not allowed to advance.
Yeah, and that's really what it's all about. So I hope everybody will think about that. So they don't have to go through what Kirstie Alley did, what Kirstie Alley's family had to go through. So what is a triple-demic now that we're looking at?
Yeah, you know, if you remember a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the big increase in RSV cases, respiratory syncytial virus, hitting not only pediatrics but adults. That's starting to slow down a little bit and actually decreasing here in Illinois, but still very high numbers. So that's the one part of the triple. The other two, our COVID cases are on the rise and on the rise rapidly, and influenza is skyrocketing. So right now with the three of those, when you look nationally, over 80% of hospital beds are filled, and that is unheard of at this time of the year. So very concerning with what's going on, the trajectory it's going on, and the lack of vaccinations that people have received.
So what do we do? How do we fight this?
Yeah, one, I would say if you haven't gotten your flu shot, please get your flu shot. I mean, we are looking at big, big numbers of people who have been hospitalized. So seniors, young kids, please get vaccinated for influenza. The strain that is going around right now, influenza A, H3N2, is actually in the vaccine. So those who have been vaccinated are going to get really good protection. The problem we have is that not a lot of people have been vaccinated. And then when you look at COVID, then people say, oh, you know, I had COVID when we started, and therefore I'm not going to get it. We have to remember that we have this new strain that's been out, and that's what the new booster will cover you for. And we're seeing more and more cases of COVID. And it was that perfect storm where each one of these illnesses was kind of on the rise right when Thanksgiving hit.
Now, when you say that the influenza vaccine has the strain in it itself, does that mean that, you know, like some people experience, they get flu-like symptoms when after they take their vaccine. Will that happen?
Yeah. So, you know, so that's the response from the vaccine. People have to understand the influenza vaccine is not like COVID. COVID is, you know, we're looking at two different strains. For influenza, we have four different strains in there because it's kind of unpredictable. Not as predictable as COVID because we know exactly what's hitting. For these, we start to make them a year in advance and we predict which are the top four that could possibly happen. This year, they happen to get it right. So we're not injecting influenza into anybody when you get the vaccine. You're actually getting a portion of the virus, which the body then sees and makes an immune response. So when people get it and they say, oh, gosh, I felt real punky a day after. Absolutely. That's your immune response saying, hey, something foreign is in my body and I'm going to fight it. And that's exactly what we want because then it makes a response so that when it sees the actual virus, it's ready to attack it.
Yeah, it's ready to fight it because it's already done that with the vaccine. Yeah, so, you know, plan it, you know, so you can take it easy the day after, you know, if that should happen. What about the latest and greatest of the COVID vaccines now? Are we seeing any change? Are we seeing any increase? I know people have not been going to get the latest.
Unfortunately, they haven't. And probably the big news this week, Dean, was that on Thursday, the FDA approved the vaccine booster, the COVID booster, for kids 6 months to 5 years. That was a gap that we didn't have with the booster, and now we do. So both Pfizer and Moderna have a booster for kids 6 months to 5 years of age. So parents who are concerned, you can get your child boosted now for COVID and get an influenza shot at the same time.
Yeah, get these vaccines. I mean, probably things are not going to get much better during the cold months, right? When people are around each other in great numbers for the holidays, when people are inside January, February for the, you know, when the weather is at its coldest, probably things are not going to decrease over the next few months.
No, not at all. And I can tell you that the hospitals, when you remember how busy we were with COVID and the stress that was put on the nurses, the respiratory therapists, the physicians, everybody who works at the hospital, we're getting back to that point. We would normally start out at Central DuPage Monday where we would have open beds and we'd be ready for the onslaught of the week. These past couple of weeks, we have not had open beds. So we're starting holding patients in the emergency room waiting for discharges, which is not a good position to be in. Stressing the staff right now, coming into the holidays, and we only are seeing these numbers continue to increase. So on behalf of the healthcare providers in your community, get vaccinated. So please, we want to make sure we can take care of those who are ill, and we're starting to get a little bit pushed.
Yeah, and if you've got your emergency rooms filled with people because you don't have any place else to put them, somebody who's coming in with something non-COVID related that requires emergency attention, they're going to be affected by that as well, right?
100%. You know, we have people that are frustrated. Hey, why do they have to wait 4 hours in the emergency room, 5 hours in the emergency room? And if you look around these emergency rooms right now, you're seeing a lot of respiratory infections. So it is kind of like, hey, get vaccinated so you don't have to go to the emergency room, just like you said. So those people who are coming in with appendicitis, with heart attacks, with lung problems, can actually be seen much quicker and more efficiently and not make people wait. So that's probably really important message of do it for yourself, do it for the healthcare providers, do it for the community, do it for your family.
Yeah, here's Diana, 312-981-7200. You're on with Dr. Kevin Most. Hi, Diana.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Dr. Most, I look forward to your segment every Sunday. I appreciate it. You've been really helpful these last 3 years through COVID. Quick question for you. I have an expired COVID test. It was expired in April of 22. Are these still good? Is it like really you can't use it? Or is it like, I'm just wondering if this is good, if I can use it.
Yeah, Diane. Diana, you know, these were the first time these tests were made. So they had to pick a date kind of to say, okay, how long are we going to have them on our shelf life? And they chose a date. The studies have all been showing that these tests are still good beyond their expiration date. So don't throw it out by any means. You can continue to use them and test yourself because, like I said, we still have treatment if you're positive for COVID.
Okay, that's perfect. Just what I wanted to hear. So, because I have quite a few of them. So, all right. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Most.
Yeah, your milk.
Appreciate it.
Your
milk. Welcome. Thank you.
Your milk in the refrigerator from last April probably not so good, by the way, Diana.
Correct.
My milk lasts like 5 months now. I don't know how.
I know it. Anyway. I noticed that when I've gotten milk. I bought a gallon of milk the other day. The expiration was like January 30th.
I know. Like, I have one that's up in March. Yeah, it's crazy.
Kevin, can you explain that? How is that lasting so long?
You know what? I do not know. I don't know whether they have additional preservatives in it. I don't think they do. So I don't have an answer for you on that one.
I looked at the ingredients, and it was pretty much I buy organic milk.
I don't want
the hormones and all that stuff in my milk. And I looked at the ingredients, and it was pretty much just milk. I didn't see a lot of things on there that I didn't understand, but I'm a little concerned that the expiration is like 2 months from now. Diana, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. We'll take a quick break and come back with more with Dr. Kevin Most next.
From all of us at WGN,
Merry Christmas
and Happy Holidays.
WGN. Talk to me.
The number to talk to me and Dr. Kevin Most. 312-981-7200. That would be John waiting to speak with Dr. Most. John, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hi, Dean. Hi, Doctor. My question is pretty simple. I've gotten all the boosters. My last booster was in September. And I keep hearing commercials that if you have a shot for 2 months, you should go get another one. Is there a new shot that I should be taking, or do I get another booster now?
No, John, and that's one of the sad things about the ad. It's a little bit confusing because it seems like, oh, every 2 months I'm going to need to get a shot, and that is not the case. So you had the full series, and then you got the new booster. You are set.
Correct.
There's nothing more that you need to do right now. There's no new booster out there. And it is. It's very confusing. And communication is probably the most important thing that we have fallen on our face with this. But for you, you've had your series. You've had the one booster that we have that's available right now. You are set. Nothing more you need to do. Just be careful about those around you.
Thank you very much for clearing it up, Doc.
All right. Thank you for
You're
the
welcome.
Call. Good luck to you on that. Debbie?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. You're on WGN. Debbie, hi.
Hello, how are you? Hello, Dr. Most. Thank you for taking the call.
Hello.
Quick question. My husband and I were in our 72, 73 years old, have been boosted, have been vaccinated for the flu. I mean, we're up to date with everything. We seem to have, for the last week to week and a half, a continuing hacking cough. Sometimes congestion, sometimes not congestion. Is this just a case of the flu? I know you wouldn't know, but is this typical at this time of the year?
Yeah, Debbie. So really what you're talking about is probably more of, I hate to say it, just a routine cold. You've already been protected. And I didn't hear, we had these high fevers, we had these body aches. You sound like you have more congestion and cough and cold symptoms than you do anything else. If you've been fully boosted with COVID and you've had your influenza, so I really appreciate that, especially in individuals who are 70, 73, there are still a lot of upper respiratory infections that are going around, just that common cold. For that, it's going to be a couple days of congestion, but that cough can linger probably for another 7 to 10 days. So no fever, no shortness of breath, I wouldn't be concerned. Just do all the things that you can to minimize the symptoms.
Should she do anything like any cough medication? I had that same thing, Debbie, years ago, and my doctor told me that the more I cough, the more I'm irritating everything. that
Well, you know, when you lay down at night to go to sleep, it's like everything cuddles or pulls in your throat, and you're up all night happy.
Yeah. Should she take some kind of cough medication or, get an inhaler from her doctor to treat her lungs?
You know, the inhaler is good for people who cough during the day because it's irritated during the day. Those who cough at night, it's exactly what Debbie said. You know, she lays down and now that drainage hits the back of her throat and hits the cough receptors, and she does. So two things there. I say either sleep propped up a little bit, so gravity helps that stay off of those, or a cough suppressant at night and guaifenesin. Guaifenesin is something very simple that is an expectorant. It loosens it up and makes it easier for you to cough and easier for it to drain. But really, the only really good cough syrups that will actually knock out a cough are codeine-based. And we've really gotten away from them because we have to remember that cough is a defense mechanism. It keeps stuff out of our lungs and keeps us with bronchitis, not going to pneumonia.
And how about, like, mucus, like, and you wake up in the morning and you cough and you try to spit it up? That's normal?
Yeah, because
that's enjoy your breakfast, everyone.
that is built up all night from you not blowing your nose and coughing during the day. So if you go a period of 8 hours, the thing I tell people, the most important, get in, take a really hot shower, get some warm tea and honey, and that stuff will break up a lot quicker in the morning.
There you go. Debbie, good luck to you.
Thank you, and I apologize.
No, it's okay.
It's fine.
A lot of people are going through the same thing you are, so thank you for the call.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Dr. Most, we always appreciate you joining us. I hope you have a wonderful Sunday. Dr. Kevin Most is the Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Thank you, my friend.
Take care, Dean. We'll talk soon.
So, Andy, are people still going nuts over world soccer?
Right now?
Now that we're out of it?
Yeah, people are still dialed in, and a couple of really good games yesterday with France over England, and the Morocco-Portugal game was on while I was here yesterday, and that was a pretty big upset.
That's a pretty big deal, right?
Yeah.
And it's like the first African country to...
To get to the semifinals.
Yeah, that's cool. So they're in their Final Four now, right?
Correct. Final Four. And that's, it's come to this. I mean, it seems like a long time ago that it started, but it's a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I had a full head of hair when this whole thing started.
Yeah. We have pictures to prove it, don't we?
Yep, we do.
It's France and Morocco.
Not that I'm not following it, meticulously, but
yeah.
It's France will play Morocco.
Correct. That's on Wednesday, and then Argentina will face one of the other big upset teams. So that was Croatia. So Croatia and Argentina will play on Tuesday.
Okay.
Croatia actually beat Brazil in penalty kicks.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And then the winners of those two games go to
the final. That's on Sunday, a week from today. Yeah, and then the two teams that lose will play for third place next Saturday.
Okay. Hey, Shwani, you want to go to some bar at like 3 o'clock in the morning next Sunday to watch?
And watch the game?
Yeah, it'd be fun, right?
Another place to do the show from.
Exactly. Exactly.
Any
place in particular you have in mind?
Well, there's that place. What's that place? Fadao?
Oh, yeah, right there on Grand.
Right down the street. Yeah. I see people lined up
Grand,
up there all
I think?
The time.
Yeah, Fadao.
Fadao.
Fadao. Yeah. Fadao. Yeah. Fadao. A dear female.
Fadao.
I see people out there all the time when I come in the morning. Lined up, watching games in Europe, I guess, right?
Yeah, they watch the Champions League.
Or Qatar, in this case.
Exactly.
All right, it's a date. We'll be there. If you don't see the three of us there next Sunday morning, 3 o'clock, start
that
with...
That means the games are over.
Yeah, start without us. Now that's when a song was a song right there. Late Whitney Houston. This is the title of the new movie that's going to be coming out in a couple of weeks about the life of Whitney Houston. There's a new Whitney Houston movie called I Want to Dance with Somebody that I saw the other day. I'm going to be interviewing the cast later on this afternoon. So I got a chance to see it ahead of time, and I really liked it. I didn't think I was going to like, you know, like a biopic like this, but it's really well done. Most of the music that you hear in this movie is Whitney Houston singing, like 22 out of the 25 songs in the actual movie is Whitney Houston, who is, you know, arguably one of the greatest vocalists of all time. Andy, you must have spun quite a few Whitney Houston songs.
Yeah, definitely.
DJ days.
I Will Always Love You. Yeah. My goodness gracious. I heard that song 15 times a shift. Okay, maybe that's a little bit of an exaggeration.
Not much, because I was still spinning the discs back then, too. And it remains one of the most popular songs of all time.
Yeah.
The Whitney Houston version of that from the movie The Bodyguard. And I played all of her hits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was playing all of her hits. Shwani, was this part of your DJ?
Not my DJ days, no. Yeah. No. By that time, that was, you know, early to mid-80s, and I was doing all news here.
Yeah.
No, Whitney Houston, you know, this Diana Ross and, you know, people like that. Certainly Aretha Franklin.
Right,
but
right.
Whitney came along a little bit later.
What a phenomena she was. You know, do you know when she was first starting off, her first single was... what was it called? Not Saving All My Love.
It was the other one.
It was right before Saving All
right.
My Love.
Right. Saving
Love
All.
You Give, You Give Good Love.
You Give Good Love.
That was before Love. Saving All My Love
yes.
for you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the first single because I forget whatever station I was at that time. The record people, it's like, yeah, you want to go see this singer? She's an up-and-coming singer, and she's going to be at the Park West.
Hmm.
Saw Whitney Houston.
You saw her at the Park West?
At the Park West. And blew the roof off of that joint, singing all of her songs. I'd never heard a voice like hers. And to see it in close proximity, like everything is at the Park West.
Sure.
Was quite amazing. But this movie is pretty cool. It brought back a lot of memories. I thought it was going to be a puff piece on Whitney Houston, because it's sanctioned by her estate, and I thought, you know, well, they're just not going to put any of the bad stuff that went on in this movie. All the bad stuff's there.
Is it?
It's a very truthful story of, you know, the warts and all. It's all there. And this actress who plays Whitney Houston in the movie, her name is Naomi Ackie. She is a British actress who looks enough like Whitney Houston, but she had to learn to sing like Whitney Houston as well. She has said in interviews, I'm not really a singer, but she had to learn her pacing, you know, her breathing, her style, because of it, as it turns out, in much of the movie, I'm watching this going, this sure sounds like Whitney Houston to me. You know, that, you know, Andy can attest, we've played these songs so many times.
Yep.
Like, we know every nuance of every song from playing them so often. I said, it sure sounds like it to me. And then I did a little research about it after the fact. They used actual Whitney Houston songs for 22 out of the 25 songs that are in the movie. It's definitely worth seeing. It opens, I think, on the 23rd. It's just before Christmas time. And we'll have interviews on that then. Still like that song, I Will Always Love You, the Dolly Parton song.
Yeah, Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton. Mm-hmm. Her other, you know, How Will I Know?
The Greatest Love of All.
The Greatest Love of All. All these fantastic women.
Those were all, we were playing those when I was at WFYR.
Yeah.
In mid-80s.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
I see a hand up in the audience. Yes, sir.
Yes, this really would apply to both of you here. I was just wondering, since you played the Whitney Houston records, this was during the transition from all analog into digital. I was just wondering if you played them actually from a disc, or were you playing them on a cartridge tape, Andy? Dean, maybe you want to chime in here.
Andy, go ahead.
Well, we did transition from the cartridge tapes to the compact disc right around the time that I Will Always Love You came out.
It was, I would say that she was kind of representative of that era when we were switching from, you know, they would send us the actual records
you know, the vinyl records, 45s or albums. And then we would transfer them to these taped cartridges that, mm-hmm. that looked like 8-track cartridges. They, right. they were not 8-track cartridges, but they looked just like them. So we could easily just plug them into the machine and play them. And then this fancy schmancy new technology called compact disc came out. And everything was transitioned over to that.
Yep.
And we played the songs off of, as we in the business called them, CDs.
Yes.
The ride with you was worth the fall, my friend. Aww. Loving you makes life worth living.
A fantastic song. Didn't we almost have it all? Oh, and the greatest Super Bowl national anthem of all
time. 1991, I want
to
say.
I was wondering when you were talking about all the songs in the movie, were they able to work that in?
Yes.
Excellent.
Giants and Bills.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. They showed, you know, Whitney's anxiety leading up to going out there and singing. They brought her all these dresses, you know, these fancy dresses to wear, and she said, "No, I don't want to wear a dress. I just want to go out." You know, like football fans go out. I want to go out. And remember, she just had like a jogging suit or something,
yeah,
and her hair pulled back mm-hmm. and a headband, and went out and killed it. For my money, the greatest version of the national anthem ever.
It gets a lot of credit for that. That was during the Gulf War, and
it was right when the Gulf War started. So everybody was just really in a very emotional,
very patriotic mood.
Patriotic, emotional mood. Yeah,
yeah. They show the in the movie while she's singing, the jets preparing to fly over the stadium. You know, with mm-hmm. the colored smoke. You know, that capped off her performance. The movie is called "I Want to Dance with Somebody," and it opens on the 23rd. And I'll be telling you much more about it as we get a little bit closer to it. And as I said, I'm going to be interviewing Naomi Ackie. She's the British actress who plays Whitney in this movie. Oh, you know who else is in the movie? Stanley Tucci.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Stanley Tucci plays record executive Clive Davis, who really, you know, championed Whitney in her young career, and you know, really made her the megastar that she is. But Stanley Tucci is great in the movie. Really great performances throughout. And here's the other thing that I like about this movie. I had no intention of giving this much of a review of this movie, but now we're deep into it. It's okay. What I don't like when they do movies like this is where you don't get full songs. You know, they'll give you like a minute's
worth. Oh, a snippet of it?
A snippet or a montage or something. You get the full versions of the songs in this one. Makes the movie a little long. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes, but it's very entertaining with all the music that you get to experience. So, you know, if you grew up to Whitney Houston's music, it's going to be extremely nostalgic for you. I also saw the new Avatar movie this week. Wow, hold your excitement
back.
That
was where we thought you were going to continue there.
Wow, hold your excitement back.
So if I didn't see the first one, am I going to be lost?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you are.
Well, that makes two of us, Andy.
You better block out about 12 hours of time, because these are not short movies. This movie is 3 hours and 13 minutes.
Ooh. What?
Yeah, 3 hours and 13 minutes.
Wow.
Nope. The first, I forget how long, the first movie was something like that. It was over 3 hours, I remember. But this one is also very long. And they're saying, you know, that people are going to go nuts to see this new movie and this and that. My reaction so far that I've been getting from people, very much like the non-reaction that both of you just had. I don't think people are as super excited as the industry would have you believe. Are you either anxious? Neither of you saw the original movie.
No.
Nope.
Never did.
Now, I did see the original movie, of course, because I had...
That's your job.
That's my job.
Yes.
So I had to go see it. But I have never had the desire to see it again. I enjoyed it, the first movie. It was very innovative at the time. It's beautiful. It's a very interesting, imaginative story. And I was done with it after I saw it.
Well, apparently there's been just enough interest where, you know, they would be doing sequels to it.
Do you know James Cameron is the director who gave us
Titanic? Yeah,
and, you know, some of the greatest movies of all time. When he filmed this sequel, Avatar: Way of the Water is what it's called. When he filmed Avatar 2, he also filmed at the same time Avatar 3 and 4.
Whoa!
He did
at the same time.
Same time.
Wow.
And he's got a fifth one planned. Also. Oh. But that opens this coming Friday. I'm really curious to see if people are going to go to the theaters and, like, you know, saying Avatar will save the movie industry. I just don't feel like I feel like the technology that blew us away in the first movie. I mean, there was remarkable. I remember having a conversation with Roger Ebert about the 3D in that the first Avatar movie. That neither of us are particular fans of 3D generally in movies. Generally, it's not that good, but it was spectacular in the first Avatar movie, and I remember having a conversation with him about that. And this one is also 3D. The new one is 3D, but I think technology has kind of caught up with that. I don't think we're that impressed. We've seen, you know, IMAX, and we've seen like so many other things now. In movies, I don't think we're going to be that blown away, but technically, by what we're going to see in this new movie.
So it's kind of like old hat, and we're waiting for the next best thing.
A little bit. I think it's a little bit like that, yeah. So, all right, well.
I miss the IMAX theater at Navy Pier.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sort of came and went. And I wonder if that's part of what I'm saying. It's like
maybe
people are just not as blown away by all that as they used to. They'd rather stay at home, you know, and watch things on their big screens at home. And apparently, for you two, it's going to be it's going to be Apple Dumpling Gang for both of you.
WGN.
All right, let's get to it. Our weekend theater segment. What's going on stage in Chicago? No shortage of holiday productions for you and the family to enjoy right now. Our weekend theater segment this week sponsored by Chicago Symphony Orchestra's Merry, Merry Chicago. And, well, you know, we know about all the big shows that are going on in town. Dear Evan Hansen, by the way, has just opened, and I wanted to bring to your attention, it's not a holiday show, but definitely that is one worth seeing while it's here in Chicago. But we've got all kinds of holiday productions to talk about this week, and I wanted to do that with the brand new executive director of the League of Chicago Theaters, Marissa Lynn Ford. Marissa, welcome to WGN. Nice to have you on with us.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be on with you today and talk about Chicago theater.
I don't know. Am I still allowed to call you the brand new executive director of the Chicago theater?
Yes.
It's been a while. You've been in office, I guess you might say.
Oh, yes. It's been a little over a month, so I'm still in the honeymoon stage, and I'm enjoying it.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Very good. Well, first of all, just to even explain what the League of Chicago Theaters is so everybody understands.
Oh, absolutely. So the League of Chicago Theaters is a nonprofit organization that supports and advocates for the theater industry across Chicago. So we supply professional development. We have hot ticks and half price tickets that we give to the city, and those profits go directly back to the theaters. And a number of training and networking opportunities for all of our theaters. So we have a little over 200 member theater organizations in every neighborhood across Chicago.
Yeah, in other words, this is the organization that kind of represents all of the theaters, large and small, in the Chicago area. One of the things that most people know best is Hot Ticks, HOTTIX, hottix.org, where, as you said, you can get half-price tickets to many of the shows. I always tell people, you know, before you buy a ticket for any show, check out Hot Ticks first, and, you know, see if you can get the tickets a little bit cheaper. Who doesn't want to save a little money? And you can go you can go to ChicagoPlays.com for that. It's hottix.org or ChicagoPlays.com to get more information on that. But I wanted to talk specifically about some of the great holiday shows that we've got going on. We've talked about many of them here on the show the last few weeks. We've had some of the casts in to chat with us and perform for us. I wanted to try to, you know, hit as many bases as we can today. Where should we start off?
Well, Dean, first I wanted to say, you know, I love your recommendations. I see you've already touched a little on Dear Evan Hansen with Broadway in Chicago and Elf at Drury Lane, Steadfast Tin Soldier at Looking Glass. Right. So appreciate you for highlighting those this past week. Those are great shows for people to check in at the Loop and around the north side of the city. So thank you for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't you think this time of year, people have a little more free time. You know, hopefully they're off for the holidays. They want to do something with the family. They, you know, maybe come downtown or go to one of the suburban theaters or one of the city theaters. They have a little time. So, you know, we should try to tell them what's out there at least, right?
Yes, absolutely. And so and theater is really that unique experience unlike any other. So I definitely want to highlight those, and thank you for that. And if you're on the north side, too, you want to check out Jackie Taylor's Joy to the World. I look forward to seeing that. That's a Black Ensemble Theater. So that's going to run on the 17th and 18th of December. So that's Jackie has been great in the community, and her shows are always a true joy to see. So I'm excited to see that myself.
Now, if I remember correctly, this show, I think I've seen it in the past, where, I mean, Jackie is sort of famous for bringing to life the music of some of the most legendary artists of all time. And she has her performers doing songs as some of these legendary performers. In kind of a cavalcade show of, some of the greatest of all time performing their holiday hits.
Yeah, so you have to see that. Jackie, yes, as you mentioned, Jackie is the pro at doing this, and she's been doing it for a long time, and really that is her area and field. So really excited to have people see that production.
Yeah. Now, we told everybody about It's a Wonderful Life, live from Chicago, the American Blues Theater production that's at the Chopin Theater through December 23rd. But there's another version of It's a Wonderful Life on stage that's being performed as well, right?
Right. So you have American Blues Theater, but also at Oil Lamp Theater, if you're up in the North Shore, they have the live radio play. And I really enjoy seeing the folly and the actors with the different noises as the play goes forward. So the live radio play is a new way of experiencing It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, that's a really fun way of presenting this story that we know from the movies, you know, via television mostly. But it's just a nice story. And that's going to be running at the Oil Lamp Theater on the North Shore now through December 30th. So plenty of opportunities to go and see that.
Yeah, so and that's a true classic. And then also, if you're up north, I would suggest everyone go see Manual Cinema's A Christmas Carol at Writers Theater. This is I got a chance to see this one of the first productions of this, and they have puppetry, they have shadow puppetry, and what they've done with the story to bring it into today's time is absolutely heartwarming, and there won't be a dry eye in the house. So yeah. I hope everyone has the opportunity to check them out as well.
Yeah, and I think we are, I believe we're 1 week away from the first night of Hanukkah. Are there Hanukkah offerings to be had as well?
Well, absolutely. So we have for Hanukkah Herschel and the Hanukkah Goblins. That's with Straw Dog Theater Company at the edge of off-Broadway. So that's going through January 1st. So there's something for everybody. There's a story for everybody during this holiday season.
Yeah, it's a story. Herschel and the Hanukkah Goblins has become kind of a holiday tradition in Chicago. I don't know how many years it's been running, but it's been quite a few. And the story of whether Herschel will outsmart the Hanukkah goblins who haunt haunt an old synagogue. So it's a very sweet and loving story that kind of tells the history of the holiday as well. So that is where a Straw Dog Theater Company, you said, right?
Yes, that's Straw Dog Theater. Absolutely.
Okay, and that's running through January the 1st. What, you know what, let me take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about some of the others that are out there right now. If you've got questions about shows to see, if you've seen some of the shows that you would like to recommend, I'd love to get your reviews on some of them. I hear from you on our text line frequently. Give us a call and tell us what you think of some of the shows that maybe you went to see. 312-981-7200. 1049. Dean Richards Sunday Morning on WGN. Our weekend theater segment. What's going on stage in Chicago? We always have a lot going on, but holiday time, man, get out there and see some of these great shows that we've got coming up. Marissa Lynn Ford, the new executive director at the League of Chicago Theater. And Marissa, you must be very proud, having come from the Goodman Theater, that the Goodman's latest production of A Christmas Carol is up and running, right?
Absolutely. The magic that Goodman presents of A Christmas Carol every year is always phenomenal, and it's a great production to bring your family. People have been bringing their family for years to see that production across generations.
Is that like the 40-something a year that the Goodman has been doing A Christmas Carol?
Yes, over 40 productions, 40 seasons of A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it's always innovative. It's always extremely creative. And that is running through December the 31st. What else do we have going on? We have so many, other theaters in the Chicago area.
Yes, so if you're a little trying to get a little bit away from the holidays, I'm excited this evening to go see Bald Sisters at Steppenwolf Theater this evening. So that's an opportunity for people to take a little break from the holiday season.
I like that. I like the bald part of that whole thing.
Yeah, so check them out up at Steppenwolf, running through through January 15th. It's going to be an exciting story. And also with About Face Theater, in partnership with Silk Road Rising, there's Mosque for Mosque. That's a comedy as well, outside of the holiday realm that people can take a look at over at the Den Theater.
Yeah. Also not strictly holiday related. I had been talking about the Paramount Theater's production of A Sound of Music.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Isn't it a beautiful production? I've had so many people talk to me since I gave it a rave review. People have been, contacting me, telling me, oh my gosh, you're so right. I'm so happy I took the whole family. It's like, we know all the songs. We know the story. It's beautifully staged. Everybody is loving it. Sound of Music at the Paramount in Aurora is, I believe, till January the 15th. I don't have my notes right in front of me, but I'm pretty sure it's the 15th.
Yeah, it's a wonderful production, and I took my mom to go see it, and we made a little night of it, drove up and had dinner, and the show was just phenomenal. It was beautiful. The music is, everyone's wanting to sing in the audience together, so a great experience.
Yeah, you know all the songs. And what I found really interesting with this production is that it is based on the original 1959 stage production. So it's not exactly scene for scene, song for song as the movie goes. It's based on the original stage production that they took that and they made the movie from there. So it's a little bit different. You get a couple of new songs in there. You get a couple of things that are different, but mostly you'll be singing Do Re Mi, you know, and So Long Farewell with the best of them.
Yes, I can't sing or else I'd have a tune for you, but,
right.
But thankfully the audience drowned me out too, and it was a fun time.
I'm right with you on that. Speaking of suburban theaters, the Drury Lane Theater out in Oakbrook Terrace, they have a nice holiday production that's going on right now in Elf the Musical.
Yes, another beautiful theater, another opportunity to make a full night of it with Drury Lane. Elf is showing. I got a chance to sneak in on their tech a little bit, so that was exciting. And, of course, a great family show for the kids and everybody to see together.
Yeah, and that is, I believe that goes till after the first of the year also. And the Marriott Lincolnshire is doing A Christmas Story, the musical. That's another one, you know, very familiar story, beautiful songs that they wrote specifically for the adaptation from the movie A Christmas Story to the musical version, which has been on stage several times in the Chicago area, currently up in the round at the Marriott Lincolnshire.
And I encourage everyone who's so used to, you know, sitting and watching the classic movies to go and experience these productions live on stage and start a new tradition. It's a great opportunity for the entire family to have a new generational tradition. And so these classic stories and films that are on stage, please, yeah, take the opportunity to see those.
Yeah. You can get more information on the shows that we talked about, plus many more, if you go to ChicagoPlays.com, ChicagoPlays.com. And you can also link up to HotTix.org,
yes.
HOTTIX.org, and check out half price tickets on some of these. Before I let you run, though, I wanted you to tell me how are things going for Chicago Theater Week that is coming up in February.
Oh, we're really excited. The second week of February, we're going to have tickets at $30 or $15 from all of our member theaters. So it's a great opportunity to see theater in different neighborhoods. So to, you know, take a step outside of your neighborhood, see different stories on different stages. So we're gearing up for that. And that'll be second week of February, February 16th. So we're hoping to have a nice kickoff event for that coming soon.
Yeah, and I'm hearing the tickets for Chicago Theater Week, another great way to see some amazing shows at discounted prices. Tickets will go on sale January 10th for that. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. So we're looking forward to seeing everyone in the audience real soon.
Very good. Marissa, if I don't talk to you, I hope you have a wonderful holiday. I look forward to singing along with you in an audience someday at you know, some show someplace. Marissa Lynn Ford, the executive director of the League of Chicago Theaters. Great to talk to you, and happy holidays. Thank you.
Happy holidays. Thank you, Dean.
Well, Shwani, wouldn't it be great if there was a podcast you could listen to learn more about me?
About you?
About me.
Oh, sure.
Sensing a little sarcasm in your response.
Much enthusiasm over Avatar, huh?
Yeah, despite what he thinks, we're going to tell you.
I think we should do a podcast about me.
That's what we're doing. One about me. It's coming up. I noticed a little bit of lack of enthusiasm when you said, when I asked you, wouldn't it be great if there was a podcast where you could learn more about me?
Oh, boy, it would be marvelous. Wow, we
hate you so much.
Wow. What do you think, Andy?
Try not to
think
right now.
Isn't that great?
Did I put in my Christmas card to you how much I hate you?
Oh, that one from 1983?
It's probably the last time I sent one out. There is such a podcast, Shwani.
I'm thrilled.
Oh, goodness.
Brother. I thought I was done with my boots the other day when it snowed.
I think it's marvelous.
I think you're drunk.
No.
That's what I think. The WGN TV, have you heard of it?
I certainly have.
We have a whole TV
Chicago's
station.
Own television station.
There's a whole TV station that's
yes, attached, it's all about you, isn't
attached
it?
Attached to this WGN
It's
thing.
All about you.
Mostly it is. If you listen at certain times a day, really, you get pretty sick of me in no time at all. Between me with my reviews and my cooking, mm-hmm. and then there's the Victory Auto Records
commercials. Oh, did you see my show? Did you see my show? Did you see me?
Hey, by the way, speaking of that, did you see me on News Nation? I was on News Nation last night.
Nice.
I was on national television last night.
Ooh.
Have you been on national
Ooh.
Television?
Oh, man.
I was on there talking about entertainment. They wanted an entertainment expert, so they couldn't find anybody, so they called me. But the TV morning news show, you know, the number one news show that's in Chicago?
Oh, see? Yeah, right. Did you see me?
Number one TV morning show. I'm not saying me. I'm saying the whole collective effort has been number one, smokes the competitors for the last 15 years. We have a morning news podcast now, in which we feature a different personality every week. And guess who's featured this week?
Well, well, well.
Who do you think it is, Shwani?
Let me see. Jeff Hoover.
Wow. Going behind the scenes there.
People need to know how this show is put together.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's see.
Take another guess.
Anna Bonneval.
It's actually Belleval.
Oh, that's how you say it. Anna Belleval.
Nice. Right. Nice that you're paying attention.
No?
Well, we'll answer that provocative question coming up in just a moment.
All right.
You okay?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who it might be about,
yeah.
though.
Yeah, in the meantime, bartender, I'll have what he's having. It's 11:13, and this is Dean Richards Sunday Morning on WGN. Oh, sure, I've been here on WGN Radio for like 30 years or something like that. But how much do you really know about me? How many of behind-the-scenes stories have I really shared with you? Virtually none. Until recently, on the WGN Morning News podcast, our brand new podcast that we're doing, which are put together by WGN TV producers, Ross Maccabee, who is not here because his wife just had a child. Congratulations to Amanda and to Ross on the birth of their new baby boy. So he's left everything into the hands of producer Brian Say, who is here with us today. That's a little greedy, I think, of Ross.
Yeah, I mean, how dare he procreate?
he could do that if he wants to, but he didn't have to do any of the work of the birth of the child. He could have been right back to work. He's taken this.
Had the baby, or Amanda had the baby on the 6th. It's the 11th. It was 5 days ago. Yeah, he should be able to.
He should be back at work by now.
Yeah.
But he had. It was you and Ross that got the idea to do this morning show podcast, right?
Yeah, well, actually, news director Dom Stassi came to us and sort of pitched it to us. We had done a podcast a few years ago, and we had been on your show to talk about it. But
you were here?
Yeah, several years ago.
I don't remember that.
Huh.
I do. I'm just kidding.
I will say, the other guys here on your show seem very excited about this, about you being on this podcast. There's just a lot of enthusiasm.
You know, I think Andy is excited about
it. Yeah.
Shwani, for some reason, I think he's just...
I always like to learn more about you, Dean.
Yeah. Well, he was very open on the podcast. He wasn't closed off at all.
Yeah.
Very easy interview.
Yeah.
No, but the WGN Morning News podcast is sort of a deep dive on all the people. Like, if you watch that show, which I'm a producer on, and I love working on that show, and I get to make silly bits with the likes of Pat Tomasulo and Paul Conrad and Dean Richards and Mike Toomey.
Andy's on the show sometimes, too.
Andy, yeah, you fill in for Pat, right?
Yep, I'm going to be there at the end of the month, too.
Very exciting. Yeah. So, but this is like a sort of a deep dive on each person, and we've been doing it now for, gosh, almost 3 months, Dean, I think, is the 10th episode. Mm. It's out now. You could, if you go to Spotify or Amazon or wherever you get podcasts, type in WGN Morning News Podcast. You can listen right now. And Dean's, I think you were like, what, 45 minutes or so?
Well, don't listen right now.
No, no. Yeah, keep listening to this show.
This show's
but then on once it ends.
Now, but later on, it's, right. it's I think it's great bedtime listening.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Have you listened?
No.
To any of the episodes? Okay. Yeah.
Well, I was there when you did mine, so yeah. I don't really feel like I need to listen to it again.
So you think it puts you to sleep? Is that right?
I think it's very soothing and relaxing.
Oh. Well, there are jingles that we do during the show, which can maybe be a little energizing.
I think the little things, if it was just a straight interview, it would be kind of boring.
No.
But interject things, other things into the interview.
Yeah.
That I think make it kind of entertaining.
Yeah, I think it's a little radio inspired. It's kind of has little music breaks and
right.
Yeah, it's segment based. So yeah.
So we'll talk. We're going to play some clips from the podcast so you can get a little sampling of the whole thing. I was uncomfortable being interviewed by you and Ross.
Why?
Because I'm used to being the interviewer.
Right.
I'm used to being in charge.
Yeah.
The direction in which it goes. And it made me uncomfortable.
Well, that's why I'm here. I want to make you uncomfortable, Dean Richards.
Well, you do, whether we're doing a podcast or not.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, but it's just a weird reversal.
Sure.
Of it's like the way we're doing it now is the way I prefer it.
You feel comfortable now?
Well, because I can control the.
Do you feel like you're in control?
I do. I feel like I could shut you down at any second.
Yeah, I guess you have an off switch on my mic, which
I don't know if you noticed that the smart aleck newscaster isn't on now either.
Oh, yeah. Right. I guess you are. Yeah, you can push some buttons.
Yeah, I can just push buttons and you're gone.
Huh.
You're gone forever.
I don't like that.
How did I rate? You interviewed everybody else on the show.
Yeah.
Larry, Potash, Robin, mm-hmm. Baumgarten.
Yeah.
Paul Conrad, Pat Tomasulo.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is
on? Morgan Kochmeyer, Lauren Jiggetts. That's the B team.
Yeah. They're on super early.
Right? Yeah. 4 to 6. Dan Ponce, Marcus Leshock, everybody. All the people. I just did Annabelle Laval, Mike Toomey. I think you said Paul, Larry, Robin,
mm-hmm.
Pat.
So how did I compare to.
I'll be honest, I joked a little bit, but you were a little, I didn't feel like you really opened up, quite frankly. So maybe we could pick back up here and I could.
I didn't open up?
I felt like you were maybe a little kind of, I think maybe it was because you weren't in control and you felt like you didn't want to maybe give me the satisfaction of letting me take the reins.
What would you have liked to have known that I didn't tell you?
No, I don't know. Maybe I'm being facetious. You were good. You gave some good answers. There was some fun. You got to understand, this is a haul doing this once a week. And I did you like 2 weeks ago, so I can really barely remember what we talked about. So
we talked about my career and some interesting interviews.
We'll get to that in a
interesting
minute, yeah.
things that happened during the interviews. Why don't we play one of the clips now before we take a break?
Sure. Which one you want to play?
Which one do you? You're
well. Why don't can we do?
You're
the,
in charge, apparently.
Ooh, look at that. Can we do the mashup? Which is then we can do you later. The mashup is it's sort of just an amalgamation of moments from the podcast of all the different people. So you can kind of get a feel of.
Okay. Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Jack, why don't you hit that for us?
Why is everyone in a robe? What is going on?
I'm going to lunch. We're going to go to Fogo de Chao and just have. I'm like.
And then it goes, wait. My darling, I hunger for your touch.
What's your bra size?
What?
Hey, Dean, your donuts blow.
My donuts?
Yeah.
As far as my underwear goes, extra small.
Can I borrow $5,000?
Absolutely not, Brian. You never lend money to family or friends.
Are we friends?
Hey, guys, Larry Potash here. Listen to the full episode of WGN Morning News Podcast anywhere you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening. I love you.
Don't call Gary Baumgarten after midnight.
So there you go. You see sort of, that's most of the people I've interviewed now. And, Ross and I have interviewed. And we're a bunch of idiots. Yeah. I don't know if that's clear.
I think anyone who's tuned the TV morning show on, they catch on to that fact pretty
quickly.
But
I think that's why they tune on.
That's part of the reason. Yeah. I think that's part of the reasons. Now, the big question is, why do you think my donuts suck?
I don't. Paul Conrad did. And he was lying because they were spectacular, and I think we all agreed. But he didn't want you to get a big head.
Big head. I understand.
Yeah.
Brian ate about five of the apple cider donuts.
At least three or four, probably
that
five.
That I made. So I know Brian enjoyed them.
It was also my idea for you.
That's very true.
To do that.
That's what producers do over there. They give ideas of things to do.
I'm a very talented producer. I don't think you've hammered that home enough.
I don't think that I've really come to that conclusion myself yet.
Huh.
But we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. We still have a little time here in the interview to see what's going to happen.
All right.
That's Brian Say. He's one of the producers over at WGN-TV and the person responsible for the WGN-TV Morning News podcast. If you go to wherever you get your podcasts, all you got to do is search those. And you can hear all of it. They're all about, what, an hour? Something like
that? They range from
40 minutes or so?
Yeah, I think the early ones were like 25-ish minutes, and then now they're getting up to like 45, 55 minutes. But every single one is under an hour. You could probably listen to all 10 that are out right now in under 5 hours.
Okay. One of the stories is what happened during my interview, some behind-the-scenes stories, what happened during my Aretha Franklin interview. That's coming up next. Oh, I was it's all you. Go for it.
Would you mind
shutting up?
Putting your phone down, shutting up, and putting the earphones on your head?
It's the kind of respect that I garner over at the WGN-TV. The producer's telling me to shut up and put my headphones on. Why were you so annoyed that I had my phone in my hand? I was doing the interview for our podcast, and producer Brian gets his nose in a snit because I've got my iPhone in my hand.
I'm sorry. Are you talking to me? I'm sorry. I was texting somebody. are you talking to me?
Okay. Well done. gotta admit, when it's well done, it's well done.
Yeah.
The WGN News Morning News, whatever it's called, podcast.
Come on, we got to get it right. The WGN Morning News podcast.
Yeah, is available wherever you get your podcast. Mm-hmm. And you can learn more about all of the personalities on the WGN-TV Morning News. And for the past week, I have been featured on there with behind-the-scenes stories, things that have happened during interviews, a little about my background, my career. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting behind the scenes.
And your favorite dessert, which sort of shocked me, but I don't think we should talk about it. We should let people go figure it out by listening to the podcast. Mm. Good tease. Dean Richards' favorite dessert.
It's my favorite dessert.
You don't remember?
I do.
Oh, yeah. It's on there. Yeah,
because I would have answered it exactly the same way now. Mm. It's not something that I make myself.
Right, no. And it's not a promotion. It's just...
No, it's just... It's excellent.
Yeah. Though I can't argue.
It's excellent.
Yeah.
So you can learn that on there. And we have another clip, don't we?
We do. This is the real clip. That was the joke earlier. Although I do have to text somebody. I can be insubordinate, too. But... Yeah, there's a real clip.
Very few times on the show when I would prefer to talk to Shawnee.
Yeah, ooh. Uh-oh, I've lost him. No, this is the real clip from your episode. It's for a story you shared about the time you and photographer Mike D'Angelo interviewed Aretha Franklin.
Yeah. This was out at the Hard Rock Casino in Gary, Indiana. We went all the way out there. It's a legend. You know, she's a legend,
mm-hmm.
Aretha Franklin. And, we'll take it from there. We scored a one-on-one interview with Aretha Franklin, legendary. You know, we have the little lavalier microphones, as they're called, these tiny things that normally you would just, you know, clip onto a jacket, or most women just clip it onto the collar of their dress or something. But Aretha clipped it to her cleavage area, and the microphone did get unclipped and fell into her cleavage. Apparently she didn't feel it. She didn't react in any way. But I don't know if it was Mike or me that said to her, your microphone came off your dress and fell inside. And she just sort of leaned back and said, oh, baby, just go ahead and get in there. Everybody's been down there.
Oh,
Okay.
We pulled the mic out, and we clipped it back on, and we went on our merry ways.
It was just a very, very magical, tremendous moment.
That's Aretha there at the end there. She's actually, I think, talking about the Obama inauguration, but...
Right.
You know, when you paste things together.
Yeah, I mean, you can take something out of context and make it sound right. Good. Schwani, that was pretty good, right? That's a good story to tell.
It's a great story.
Microphone,
you know,
falls into,
you know,
Aretha Franklin's cleavage.
I remember you talking about it on the show. You know what I think would be great is if you had a podcast talking about all of the things that you do on the WGN morning program. I think that would be tremendous. Absolutely ideal.
Could follow it up with all the times that Schwani listens on a podcast.
Yeah. And how many times I turn his microphone off because he's starting to annoy me.
Boy, what a concept.
There's not like a running thing, but there is one episode you could listen to, Schwani. It's available right now. It's the WGN Morning News podcast, anywhere you get your podcasts. So.
I'm sure, type it
into your phone right now, man.
I have a newsroom to run right now, but I will go to it immediately after I'm done.
I'm sure once you're done with your very important journalistic obligations that you have right now, that you'll probably spend the whole afternoon listening to it, I'll bet.
I will.
So, Dean, this is my second time on your show, and I think it's going pretty well. What do you think?
What have you learned about the personalities on the WGN Morning News? What have you learned that you think is different than what we present on the air every day?
So the thing about it, and I think it's sort of uniquely positioned in a podcast format, is that it's really a deep dive, right? Like, I do a thing where I ask a bunch of questions, and then we ask for stories, we play clips. It's just, you know, when we see Dean or anybody on the WGN Morning News, we see them in such short little moments. So you have sort of an idea who they are, right? But when you are able to sort of sit down and be in conversation for longer than 2 minutes and really kind of get to the heart of who these people are, and so it's sort of a deep dive. You get to just sort of, I don't know, see them in ways that you otherwise cannot.
You get a little different view. I want to ask Andy and Schwani the question that I was unable to answer. You asked me a question, and I just didn't have an answer.
I remember it.
Was it the favorite word?
Yeah.
They asked me. So Mike Edwards are over here. Mike Wallace is, you know, giving me these deep probing questions. And Schwani, he asked me, what's your favorite word?
And you couldn't come up with one?
I couldn't come up with a favorite word.
That would be a hard question to answer, really.
Andy, what's your favorite word?
Dude.
Dude is your favorite word?
I have no idea. Come on. That was the first thing that came to my mind. And it's not moisture either.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bad one. For some reason, no one likes to say the word moisture.
I like to say it.
Yeah.
Moisture.
But it's not my favorite.
Yeah.
My favorite word is Schwani.
Thank you.
Oh, brother.
Thank you.
Oh, brother. How do you do this show with these guys?
This is extra super. I should not have this many producers in one room.
Hi. Huh.
Well, you ponder that.
I am. I'm pondering it.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Brian, sadly, it's come to the end of our segment here. In fact, it's past time.
Way past.
Well, I was saying earlier, this is my second time on the show. I feel like it's going really well. Maybe I could come down, you know, every now and again, just kind of check in. You could call it like checking in with Brian.
Well, I'm going to have an opening for a newsman next week.
Oh, is that right?
So.
Which one? We'll see. Who's leaving you?
We can work that out. Brian Say is producer of one of the producers of the WGN TV Morning News. And if you want to hear this podcast, what's the best way to do that?
Anywhere you get your podcast, type in WGN Morning News Podcast, and you'll see 10 episodes up right now. Tomorrow, Anna Belleval's episode will drop at 4 in the morning. So, yeah, check it out. It's a lot of fun.
I can't believe we're 2 weeks away from Christmas. I believe first night of Hanukkah a week from today, is that right?
Yeah, it'll wrap up, I think, right on Christmas Day.
I'm going to be making latkes on my TV cooking segment this week.
That'll be good. You got some applesauce to go along with that, a little cinnamon brown sugar in there.
With that, I've got the applesauce. I know some people like sour cream.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you prefer just a nice potato latke, or Do you like vegetables? Well, you don't like vegetables.
I like the potato. Yeah. And Melina has discovered a great way to do them in the air fryer.
That's how I'm going to make them this week. And I wondered if that was blasphemous in some way. Because the purpose of Hanukkah is that the oil lasted for 8 days.
But then the oil lasts for 8 days in your kitchen, too.
If you, you mean if you don't take it out of the bottle.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because the purpose of the air fryer is practically no oil is used. But it's much healthier that way.
Healthier and quicker and cleaner. And I tell you what, they taste fantastic.
Yeah. I've got to say, I'm a big old convert on the air fryer. But I'm going to make, I think I'm going to make several different varieties just to show different varieties of them. But I think my favorite is also the potato latke.
Yep. It's good stuff.
Yep. Good eating.
Can I break in for just a second here?
Please do.
We have a news update here on the Orion, the Artemis 1, successfully splashing down from the moon. 11:41 our time, just a moment ago. And it's amazing. 50 years ago today was Apollo 17, the last manned moon mission. This was the unmanned moon mission. And now setting the next flyby date for 2024. So a successful conclusion to the Orion mission, Artemis 1.
What did they, what was the purpose of this mission?
They were trying to find out just how, people would react. They were taking temperatures on these models or mannequins or, one of a better term, dummies.
It's like test dummies.
Yeah,
car crash.
Right,
test.
But again, in more detail of how things would react there, and
how there might be reactions to humans under similar conditions.
And not only that, but the missions, these planned missions, once we do indeed get people back there, they're going to be there for a lot longer than, the astronauts were 50 years ago, for a couple of days. It may be, maybe a couple of weeks, maybe a month. So they wanted to see how, that might work in the very near future,
what kind of impact there might be on humans. Is the plan on the next flight to send humans?
Not yet. 2024 would be another flyby. Would be another couple of years yet. But the silent occupants, they're calling them, three test dummies. Now, this gives me an idea. I think we should do the show from there. You're talking about three test dummies?
I can't think of three bigger dummies than us.
That's kind of what I'm intimating. After all, you have a podcast now. What's the next step?
Well, I'm only on that one podcast. It's not like there's like a regular podcast. But what if they said, why in the world would they ever do this? But if the opportunity presented itself, wouldn't you go?
Yeah, I would.
Experimental conditions.
Of course, I'd be just scared to death mind.
Me
but,
too.
Dean, we grew up watching this.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievably exciting.
Neil Armstrong, John Glenn.
And before, yes, right.
The excitement of watching any kind of space mission was amazing. They wheeled the television set
into the classroom
so everybody could watch.
I got to move the rabbit ears around. Boy, oh boy.
That's where your technical career started. even though they're still testing things, I think I would feel safe.
Safer now, perhaps, than before, considering, the circumstances cool. and the conditions that, the astronauts 50 years ago were facing.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they actually called us the three test dummies in every newscast. I would like to hear Anderson Cooper call me a
dummy.
One of the three
test dummies have now entered the gravitational pull of the moon.
And then they take a shot, the camera that's in the capsule with us. And we're like,
all doing Three Stooges routines.
Hey, Sidney.
What are you doing?
Whoa, Larry Cheese.
Get over here.
This has got our names written all over it.
It really does.
It really does. Seriously. All right. If there's anything else going on with Artemis, let us know.
Oh, I'm floating. I'm floating.
You are floating today. Yeah. I'm seriously. I don't know either. I don't know which of those coffee capsules he took this morning, but I'm going to take a few of those later on myself. Me if I could find a way. 11:50 is the time. This is Dean Richards. Sunday morning on WGN. Sad news coming over the wire about the mother of singer Cher. Georgia Holt is her name, and she has passed away. The mom of the model, actress, singer, songwriter died. Cher tweeted about it this morning. She was 96 years old. A representative for the Oscar winner Cher said that Georgia Holt's death was confirmed, no details available, but she was an actress also and appeared briefly in movies like A Life of Her Own in 1950, Grounds for Marriage, 1951, Father's Little Dividend, 1951, Artists and Models, 1955, and then on TV shows, The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. And she also appeared as a model in the I Love Lucy episode in Paris, where Lucy gets a Parisian gown from a famous French designer. And, you know, they were parading all these beautiful gowns out. Cher's mom was Georgia Holt, was one of the models that was featured in that episode. So condolences and our sympathy. Georgia Holt, mother of Cher, died at the age of 96. Very sorry to hear that. We mentioned at the beginning of the show, and I think is worth mentioning again, a real longtime veteran performer here on WGN Radio also passed away the day before yesterday, the legendary Floyd Brown. Many of you will remember Floyd from his WGN radio show that he had every Sunday night, in which he would feature jazz, feature amazing recordings and interviews with jazz legends. He had a variety of different guests on his show. He did an investment show as well here on WGN. He was here on WGN for 28 years on both radio and television. On the television side, Floyd was an announcer, the voice that you heard coming up next. It's blah, 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 you know, similar to what I when Floyd transitioned to radio, I was brought in to do that job that Floyd Brown did. That's where I did my famous Victory Auto Records commercial. But he was an announcer. He was a sportscaster. He was a host of many different shows on WGN. But in addition to those 28 years on WGN, he spent 54 years in broadcasting before WGN on WMAQ on NBC. In fact, he was the first African-American hired by WMAQ, you know, breaking new ground and paving the way for others. Spent time on a variety of suburban radio stations before NBC, but he was he went to Northwestern to study accounting. Was born in Dallas, came to the Chicago area to study at Northwestern in accounting. While he was doing that, he was supporting himself as a porter at the Drake Hotel. So he lots of different things. Retired from WGN in 1999 and remained very active in many, many charitable organizations through the years. He received a Trailblazer Award from the Quad County Urban League. He was inducted into the Fox Valley Arts Hall of Fame and our WGN Radio Walk of Fame. He was an inductee back in the year of 2016. So I'm sorry to say that Floyd passed away this past Friday of natural causes. He was 92 years old and is survived by his very, very lovely, very charming wife, Betty. He's got two kids as well. And our condolences to the Brown family, a really great broadcaster, a really, really, really fine and classy guy. Floyd Brown. He was instrumental in helping so many other people also get their footings in broadcasting. He was constantly looking back and helping others as well, in addition to being a tremendous talent and a human being on his own part. So rest in peace, our old friend Floyd Brown is passed away at the age of 92. You know what I love about this time of year?
It's the most wonderful time of the year. That's what I love about
There's
it.
There's stuff to eat
yeah,
everywhere.
Oh, there, that's for sure, yes.
People are doing their holiday baking,
mm-hmm.
and you know they bring in a little tray to the office, and there's like little, you know, little snacks to have.
Yep.
Nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite holiday cookie? Favorite holiday dessert for something?
Favorite holiday cookie, just the, you know, any type of a sugar cookie or a fruit filled cookie. I love those. I have come to love, a German bread, a German sweet bread called Stollen, Stollen.
Oh yeah, that's good.
And, you can get it at a lot of bakeries here. The Chris Kindle Market has it, in Daly Plaza, and they're up at Wrigley Field this year also.
Right.
And in different types of flavors there, it has some fruit filling sometimes,
yeah.
Or it could be just a butter type of bread, but it's delicious.
Isn't it like a fig spread that often is in it?
Yes.
It's all rolled up.
Yeah, yeah.
The Stollen is delicious. I like, well, you know, give me a good chocolate chip cookie any day of the week. A homemade chocolate chip cookie.
Yep. Whew. Absolutely.
Oatmeal raisin cookie.
Yep. Golumkies.
I like Golumkies.
Yeah.
I like Golumkies.
Mm-hmm.
I like, I don't know what they're all called, but I tend to like things with nuts.
Oh, you know what I love?
Cup,
a nut roll. Have you ever had a spiced nut roll?
Mm.
Oh, that's one of my favorite things this time
good.
Of year.
That sounds good.
It's delicious.
There's
yes.
a number of ethnicities, you know, that have traditional cookies for the holidays, pastries for the holidays. There's a number of Greek cookies that are made for the holidays, which I've never made. I got to say, I'm not that much of a baker, but I do, I love to cook. I just don't bake very much. Maybe I'll give it a try this year.
We have Croatian friends that make a nut roll this time of year. It's just terrific.
There's one of our stagehands over at WGN-TV. It's an annual tradition. He makes rum balls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! I have to get
those are habit forming.
I have to get a designated driver after I have a couple of those.
Those are habit forming. Yes.
Oh my gosh!
Those are great,
delicious. we're going to talk with Louisa Chu from the Chicago Tribune's dining section, food and dining section. You know, the Tribune for 36 years has put on their holiday cookie contest, and we'll find out which recipes were the winning recipes coming up next. I used to love when Darlene Love would make her annual appearance on David Letterman. Sing Christmas Baby, Please Come Home. 12:12, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. We're talking about our favorite holiday sweet treats. And that leads into our guest on our Food Time show today, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show. And Louisa Chu is the food critic for the Chicago Tribune, writes all kinds of interesting food topics. And I was so interested to learn the results of this year's annual holiday cookie contest. Louisa, welcome back to WGN. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Dean. And I know you're a cook and a baker, too, so I want to hear about your holiday cooking and baking later, too.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not so much of a baker.
Oh.
I don't know why. I just never... I just never do, but I want to get into it. I want to do it. So maybe I might try some of your recipes from your cookie contest. I've got a few like Greek things that, you know, from my family. I want to learn how to do those, you know, those traditional ones. So I am going to get into it a little more than I have in the past. This contest has been going on for 36 years, and this has got to be one of the most popular things that you guys do over in the food section over there, right?
Yeah. Every year when we think for a moment, you know, like, are people still interested in the holiday cookie contest? I mean, it kind of seems so old-fashioned, and there was one year where some misguided soul, like from a previous administration, thought, yeah, you know what, people aren't interested, and then stopped it. And then, oh my gosh, the response was like, oops. And for sure, it's been going strong now.
They had to sell the whole tower because of the
I know,
the revolt was so great that we all had to move out of Tribune Tower.
I know, right? You know, it's like the condos. I'm sure they've got nice kitchens for cookies there. You know, not that they bake, but who knows?
I've been wanting to go over there and pretend like I'm going to buy one of those expensive ones just because I'm nosy and I want to see what it looks like.
Me and you both. We can test out one of the kitchens.
Yeah, we can go over there and give it a try. So what kind of response? I mean, the usual kind of avalanche response to this year's contest?
Yeah. So we got a lot of terrific recipes, and not only are the cookies delicious and wonderful, and the recipes, you know, I mean, for the most part, like, pretty accessible. So I have confidence that you can make them pretty easily. But it's the stories that go with them that really make the difference, because our, regular contest entrants know that we ask that you submit not only a recipe, but the story behind it. And some of those stories, I mean, they go back generations. And, so that's really what makes the huge difference for them. And we so appreciate all the time for, like, the dozens and dozens, the baker's dozens, if you will, of entrants, who take the time to not only come up with the recipes, because, you know, I mean, making cookies, as we all know, kind of family recipes, like watching families make recipes, they don't actually have recipes.
Right. Yeah.
And so translating... Yeah.
Yeah. Not a lot was written down. You know, I tried to get some recipes out of my mom, and she said, "Oh, I never wrote anything down. You know, it's a pinch of this and a touch of that." And it's like, well, let me watch you pinch it, and you know, so I can kind of approximate it, because I would like to share these recipes with the younger people in the family, so these recipes will live on forever. Do they tend to be the same kind of cookie recipes that come in every year, and then the ones that are different really stand out of the bunch? Do you get how many sugar cookie recipes must you get every year, like that? You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah, so we definitely get more of the traditional holiday cookies, which is kind of like the shortbread, some variations on the chocolate chip. And, some of the cutout cookies. So there's definitely some, classics. And then we get some of the ones that are really kind of out there. I remember there was a regular entrant who submitted a cookie recipe that was called, from a few years ago, the Drunk Uncle.
Oh.
That was kind of like a vintage style recipe. It was a recipe. And we also asked that these be original recipes. And so that was kind of like a mid-century modern take on a cookie that was based on a cocktail topped with a maraschino cherry.
Oh, nice.
One of our previous winners, she went on to create her own small baking side hustle. And so those were beautiful. And they kind of, had like, I think one of the last ones that she entered, because we asked people to take a break for a couple of years, that they went is with like an eggnog, like really soft, like cakey kind of cookie. And then she topped that with an eggnog swirled icing.
Oh,
it was so
so good.
That sounds delicious. Which brings me to, you know, my question about judging this contest. I don't imagine that you do this by yourself. I'm sure you must have a team of other writers, editors who also assist you in the difficult task of actually tasting all these wonderful cookies.
Oh, yes. It is definitely all a team effort. And it's really led by our food editor, Ariel Chung, who is, rallies with all the recipe entrants that come in. And then in previous years, pre-pandemic, we had for a while entrants bake their own cookies and then would drop off cookies at the Tribune Tower. In the past few years, you know, since 2020, we actually have recruited a team of journalist bakers. So not only are people writing, taking photos, editing, doing all sorts of stuff at the Chicago Tribune, we're also recruiting them to bake the recipes that come in. And then also the judges, the journalist bakers turn into journalist judges too. And everybody gets a sample. We come up with a final dozen finalists. And then there's the tasting, and then gets whittled down from voting. And we judge on beauty and taste. And then that comes up with our final three winners. But I kind of feel like everybody's a winner in all of this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and just the fun of being in part of something like this has to be really fun. And it must be interesting to come up with new and original and innovative recipes. I have found since I've been cooking on TV that people don't want me to stray too far away from certain traditional things, because especially around the holidays, I mean, there are certain recipes that they must have every single year, and they don't want some dope on TV to come along and, you know, do something super fancy and complicated and, you know, like that. They want what grandma used to make for the holidays.
Right.
And I imagine that much of that also applies to the baking part of the holiday experience.
Absolutely. And Dean, I would imagine they're thinking probably more of like a creative home chef like yourself, you know, maybe it's more what they're thinking, to be kind.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But yeah, but totally. I mean, for example, our first place winner, when she was making her recipe, it called for a homemade salted caramel. And, caramel can be a little bit tricky to make. And, sometimes when it's just, I kind of like that really, like, you know, dark, rich caramel, but you leave it on for like a second too long and it's burnt.
Yeah.
And, and then now the prices of, sugar and butter and all of that, I mean, who has time?
Through the roof,
Exactly. To go out and buy and then replace all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, the shortages are real.
I think that's part of why I have maybe been a little afraid of baking, because I know that it's so precise. Everything must be so precise. And I think I'm a little more sloppy freeform cook than, the like precision that you must have in order to achieve big baking. Something I'm going to work on. I'm going to get into it. You must have records of the very first of the cookie contest, do you?
Oh boy, I'm sure. We do. Do I have it on hand at the moment? I don't.
Well,
but
you know what? Let me tell you then, because I looked it up.
What?
I looked it up. I didn't know if this was something that you would have, and I would sort of be blindsiding you by asking, but that didn't stop me from asking anyway. Because only because I knew that I had the info here anyway, and it apparently was just a good old fashioned chocolate chip cookie that it says here. In 1986, the Good Eating section of the Chicago Tribune debuted what would become an annual holiday cookie contest. Thousands of entries pour in every year. The one year the paper decided not to run the contest, as you said, they heard an outcry from the readers. But the winner was an award-winning chocolate chip cookie, Mrs. Levy's Giant Chocolate Chip Cookies. And I'm looking at a picture of it. It looks gorgeous. It looks mm-hmm. beautiful. And wasn't there, am I mistaken, wasn't there a chocolate chip cookie franchise, Mrs. Levy's, or am I thinking of something else?
I know there was, of course, Mrs. Fields. Maybe I'm thinking of Mrs. Levy. Yeah, and then I know that there was, so the Levy brothers started off with some of their mother's recipes, and uh-huh. I seem to recall something along the lines of they did something with one of her recipes, but I'm not sure if it was actually like a shop or a business or something that was in one of their early restaurants.
Yeah, this is online if anyone's interested. It's the originator of the recipe was Lynn Levy or Levy, L-E-V-Y. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Levy or Levy's giant chocolate chip cookies, light brown mm-hmm. sugar, unsalted butter, vanilla, eggs, flour, salt, baking powder, walnuts, and semi-sweet chocolate chips. Not an overly complicated recipe, but apparently quite delicious.
Mm-hmm.
The very first one.
I have to say that as a trained pastry chef myself, that recipes for baking, especially for cookies, no pun intended, you can fudge a little bit. It's not necessarily that precise.
Yeah.
And, what helps for a lot of people, like the simplest thing, is sometimes not packing your flour.
Huh.
I like to convert to weights. I know that, generally, especially our recipes are by volume measure. But especially like a chocolate chip cookie, like everybody's made a chocolate chip cookie, right? That's like kind of your gateway home baking cookie.
That's how you start. Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. maybe that's mm-hmm. where I'll start with it all.
Yeah.
Well, I want to find out the winning recipes. Let me take a break. We'll come back and we'll find out what were the top three winners of the Chicago Tribune's annual holiday cookie contest. Louisa Chu joining us today, and we'll get right back to it right after this. WGN 1237
with the kids.
Dean Richards wrapping up our Food Time show, Chicago radio's only cooking and dining show, with Louisa Chu, food editor, food critic, Chicago Tribune, the Tribune's annual holiday cookie contest. Louisa, while we were talking here, we got a text talking about the tradition of some of these recipes. 708 area code texted in. While I'm listening, I'm making my mom's eggnog snickerdoodles. She passed away in June of 99. I am the family baker now. So that's why it's important to hand down these recipes, right?
So important. And I have to give props again to my food editor, Ariel Chung. And I actually am one of the critics. My fellow food critic, Nick Kindlesberger, is also a great baker. Not so much a cookie fan.
Huh.
But yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And
it's so important to keep the recipes going.
Yeah, a snickerdoodle was one of the top three recipe winners this year, right?
So are we going to reveal the winners?
Let's reveal.
Yeah, so the winners of the 2022 Tribune Holiday Cookie Contest, in third place, yes, was Christine Meyer's decorated snickerdoodle sugar cookies. And those were, again, her take on the classic snickerdoodle cookie. And I guess for people who kind of don't know what snickerdoodle cookies are, or, they're kind of like a cinnamony, buttery, cinnamony sugar cookie.
Mm-hmm.
She did a beautiful job decorating them with icing into Christmas trees and wreaths. And then in second place, Andrew Yohannan's marbled pistachio almond cookies.
Boy, just the description of that sounded so good to me. And then I clicked on a picture of it, and the picture is even better than the description. That sounds so good.
It's so good. And then also, he personalized that from a, so people who might watch and learn about baking online, Claire Staffitz, who was with Bon Appetit, he adapted one of her recipes and made it his own. Hmm. So it looks kind of like a very groovy, kind of like swirly, you know, modern take, you know, on a sugar cookie. And so that marbling comes from pistachio.
It looked like he put the batter out flat and then a layer of some kind of like pistachio paste maybe or the nuts themselves just very finely and then rolled it and then cut it. That's what it looks like to me. How close am I?
I think pretty close. I think probably closer to like a dough than necessarily a batter. So it is definitely, you know, he's definitely used a pistachio mixture, into that dough, and then it's, you know, just kind of like a swirl, and then it gets folded. And so, you know, it's one of the, I can't remember, it's like the log cookies. So remember everybody bought like the log cookies, you know, from the store. Basically you make your own log cookie and then you cut it, you slice it and then you bake it.
Yeah.
And so he did it rectangular rather than like a traditional cylindrical log.
Yeah, or almost like if you were making a biscotti, right? Where it's kind of rolled and baked and then sliced, right?
Mm-hmm. And just, you know, bake the one time. Although if you did bake it twice, you could get like a actual biscotti, but I'm not sure. But yeah,
it's a beautiful cookie, and it's I'm a sucker for. I'm looking at the recipe now, and it's like a pistachio almond flavor that's apparently in that mixture, and that's just got my name written all over it. So the number one, the first place winner of the 2022 Chicago Tribune Holiday Cookie Contest
is Christine. I'm sorry. Caroline Crispino with her chocolate salted caramel surprise cookie.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so also, if you're a big chocoholic like me too, it is a chocolate cookie dough wrapped around, spoiler alert, a salted caramel center. And I got a chance to chat with Caroline about the recipe, and it started as a mistake. Because, you know, as I mentioned, she was making her own salted caramel, which is, you know, I mean, it can be a technical challenge.
Right.
And when a batch went wrong, she got Rolo candies.
The chocolate caramel little candy drops.
Exactly.
Wow.
So she bought Rolos. She quickly Googled because she had the recipe going and she had to be someplace with those cookies.
Oh my gosh.
She was getting them.
Wow,
yeah.
Wow.
For a potluck. And so so she Googled and she figured, Rolo candy with the chocolate on the outside and the caramel in the center worked. And to her, what made the biggest difference was kind of upping the salt game. So she was using just kosher salt, which she says, you know, works perfectly fine. But that salt with the caramel, which has become like the really hot flavor trend of the last like decade or so.
Right.
She recommends, if you can, using that really super flaky snow white Malden sea salt.
Yeah, yeah.
And just absolutely love that.
Wow.
So she swears anybody can make this recipe. She says it's a super easy recipe. So, Dean, this might have written all over
this
too.
This may have my name on it. It sure sounds great. And these pictures, oh my gosh, these pictures of these winning recipes are just phenomenal. You can get the recipes if you go to chicagotribune.com. They're very easy to find. Mm-hmm. But if you just do a Google search of Tribune 2022 Holiday Cookie Contest, it'll take you right to the page, and you'll be able to find it all. Louisa, I'm looking forward to talking to you more on our food show in the new year. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful holiday, and I really appreciate you joining us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dean, and happy holidays and happy baking.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll let you know how it turns out. If you don't hear of any house fires, you know it went okay. I'll keep you posted. Thank you so much for joining us today.